very, very happy to share that overall crime from PPD shows a 28.6% drop in crime from 2023 to 2025. So that's over a two-year stretch. I'll give you some of additional numbers over a two-year stretch. We will get all of these numbers to you year by year, 23, 24, 25. Generally speaking, all of them were precipitous decreases. It wasn't high in 23 and then low in 24 and higher in 25. It's been on a great trend line, all of these.
Yeah, consistently improving. The mayor laid that out yesterday during his press conference. All the improvements in the crime data, which is a fantastic thing. This interview today is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy, Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com for more information. David Stafford is the city administrator while D.C. is traveling. David is with us this morning. The city manager, excuse me. David, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, yep. Sir. No, city administrator. I had it right the first time, right?
There you go. You got it right the first time. Yeah, thank you.
I got scolded by a good friend who's a city manager and is like, you know, they're different. I'm like, okay, yes. I know. I'm sorry. It's just my brain. Synonyms often occupy the same space in my head. Okay. One of the questions I had for you, David, is I'm getting asked about the A Street and Garden intersection where the construction is going on and the left turn arrow there that is not in operation right now, which I have not driven that recently, but my understanding, I know the mayor talked about yesterday, is if people want to turn left, there's only two lanes now rather than two plus a turn lane. So left turns are backing all the traffic up and there's no green arrow, so it doesn't flush out very well. I assume this is all temporary until the construction is done, even though it sucks. Is that right?
Yeah. I drive through that intersection, if not daily, several times a week. So yeah, I understand and I'm sympathetic that the lanes have been changing over time and the construction continues. Obviously, all towards a goal of a better roadway and more stormwater protection. But yeah, my understanding is certainly that intersection is still under construction and all those lane movements, are temporary. And again, remember that's an FDOT project, but right. We can certainly confirm that. But my understanding is that it is just a temporary situation there.
And also just to be sure that there's no such rumor out there, we're not building a roundabout there. Yeah.
Negative.
Very good. All right. Somebody also asked me about
roundabouts are non-controversial.
Yeah, right. I mean, just mentioning the word sends people into fits and spasms. So Main Street, I'm told, has a lot of potholes and needs work. But I wonder if that's not supposed to come after all the drainage stuff is done and the Joe Patty is all of. Am I wrong in putting those two pieces together? Do you know anything?
You are not wrong. No, I know they come out and over time we'll fill potholes. Again, that's another road that I travel often. But yes, that will, you know, obviously they don't want to repave it and then continue to have all of the work that's done and then have to do that again. So certainly heard and sympathetic to that. And, you know, again, the end goal is to have a clean up some of that stormwater, improve the roads down there. And again, I think that's going to happen. That repaving will happen once that work is complete.
Got it. Good note. But, you know, for the meantime, it's not a lot of fun. Speaking of roads, yeah. Scenic Highway is suddenly a kind of a catastrophe that we're working on fixing. This is an outfall pipe that it broke and there's water under the street. What's happening here? Because I don't feel like I fully understand it. What's going on?
Sure. Well, Florida Department of Transportation reached out to us end of 2025 and said, "Hey, we need to get to this outfall that's over off of Scenic Highway." And just geographically, for those who may not traverse that area, it's just south of Hyde Park Road, just directly across from the Park Place Apartments. I actually walked, met the Florida Department of Transportation officials there, along with our Public Works Director. As well as Councilman Moore, whose district that is, and we met them and actually walked the property. And basically what's happened, there's an outfall that takes water basically from the other side of Scenic Highway and then dumps it out basically along the bluff and eventually obviously heads out into the bay. And that pipe had failed. And what had been had happened through storms and whatnot. The erosion had started creeping back towards Scenic Highway, and they, you know, said it's critical and they need access to that area. Unfortunately, they did not have an existing easement. You know, as best we can tell, that was just an oversight from, you know, probably decades ago. And so we then began to work on getting that easement. But it's important to note that because there was a question or a misunderstanding that the work that they started, I think, on Monday has to do with the easement. The work that started with the piling the sheet metal in was actually on FDOT right of way. So they had every right to be able to begin and do that work in anticipation of then the next step. If the city council approves the easement, that they would begin then to do the permanent fix. This was sort of two steps. One is to have an emergency fix to you know, stop the erosion right there at the road.
Very good. We'll look forward to that. I mean, all of these things, you know, various forms of work, most of it involving FDOT, but obviously they're things that people, you know, either encounter or doing work to prevent them having to encounter in the future. David, one of the things that, you know, yesterday the mayor announced that you guys have standardized the hours for the parks, one set of rules, sunrise to sundown for any of the regular parks, and then different rules for a couple of the major parks till 10 p.m. or the athletic facilities that are lighted up. Makes perfect sense to me, but it seems like one of the things that we're encountering in Pensacola is for a long time there was sort of patchwork solutions to everything, and this mayor is really emphatic about let's streamline, let's clean, let's standardize, let's, you know, I don't know, revise the land development code that hasn't been done in many, many decades. That's kind of your job, is to implement all of those changes, but also to figure out which ones make sense, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got an excellent staff of you know, department directors and the folks that work under them, that's sort of the subject matter experts on this. And as you, I think, know, we recently promoted Tanya Bird to Parks Director, mm-hmm. Longtime person in the department. And so, you know, when these questions came up, we said, all right, let's take a look at, you know, what are the, you know, the default, as you know, is sunrise to sunset. What are the hours in the parks that are different and why? And then came back with a series of recommendations. Basically, you have sort of two buckets. One is everybody else in the normal sunrise to sunset. And then those, for whatever reason, there's a good reason for them to be open different hours, sort of try to standardize that. And that's that. So that was basically based on the recommendations that came back from the Parks Board after taking a comprehensive look at all of our 90 plus parks.
Yeah, and it makes sense to me. I just thought it was funny how this one's till 9 o'clock, this one's till 7 o'clock, this one starts at 5, that one goes till sundown. You know, they were all just individually done. It was so weird.
And you've heard the mayor talk, you know, repeatedly about sort of, you know, so a lot of these things that, you know, he's encountered and sort of one-offs agreements that maybe were a handshake agreement and things like that. So he's done his best to try to put some standardization there and while still certainly respecting the need, for instance, in some of these parks where there's an obvious need for them to be open past sunset.
Right. There's a couple of things on the agenda for tomorrow night's meeting that I thought were interesting. One, I expect it to be uncontroversial, but the confirmation of Chief Winstrom to be the chief of police, city council has the final say on that, right?
They do. As you know, under the city charter, all the directors, the department directors, do have to be confirmed by the city council, and under the charter, again, the police chief is considered department director. But I certainly don't expect any problem with that. Obviously, the city council's going to do what the city council does, but several of the sitting members of council actually asked to co-sponsor the item when it came before the it was actually added as an agenda add-on because we didn't think that we were going to do it that quickly, but we moved pretty quickly to get them on the agenda. And so he's certainly had some significant support from the community to include members of city council. So we're looking forward to Chief Winstrom coming on board and getting to work. Certainly appreciate all the work that Chief Brown has done. She's going to stick around for some overlap as deputy chief while during Chief Winstrom's, you know, early days here.
Yep.
And then he'll, he's scheduled to start the first week of pending confirmation, first week of March.
We're looking forward to that. I'll actually be spending some time tomorrow. I wasn't here for last week to cover it, but some of the stuff he said in the press conference was, I thought, very interesting and very reassuring in terms of did we make the right decision or not. And I think we really did make a good decision here. There's also an interesting item. Plaza Ferdinand is, I did not realize this, but Plaza Ferdinand is meant to not be used by groups. It's meant to be there for just individuals and spontaneous things, and there's an agenda item tomorrow night to temporarily lift that restriction because of the lack of access to, for example, Palafox during the construction phase. Am I understanding this right? I just didn't realize that was even a thing before, but that's meant to let more groups use Plaza Ferdinand while other spaces might not be available. Is that right?
That's right. That's one of the interesting things that if you actually look in the Code of Ordinances, there's one specifically that applies to Plaza Ferdinand. Getting back to our previous conversation about sort of standardized, ways that parks are handled. Obviously, there's a lot of history there in Plaza Ferdinand, and some years ago, the city council at the time enacted an ordinance to put some additional sort of rules and guardrails about what can and can't happen there. There was an effort to, this was actually brought forward by Council President Patton, working, I think, with the legal department to say, hey, during this period of time when access to Palafox is limited, obviously with the road being closed, let's look at lifting some of these additional restrictions, at least for some short period of time, to allow some additional activities that would otherwise under the ordinances not be allowed.
Right.
So that is the item that's being brought forth again by the council president. I expect some interesting discussion about that.
You have the Malcolm Young Center property getting put in the community land trust. Is that the first? That's not the first property going to the land trust, is it? Or is it?
No, there was three additional properties have come.
Oh, right,
before.
Right. Those three homes, right?
This will be the largest. Sam from Habitat for Humanity was at the CRA meeting on Monday, and there was robust discussion about it. And again, it passed that first step there at the CRA meeting, obviously next step is the city council, I think there's excitement about the ability to provide some additional high quality housing intended for lower income individuals with some pretty good protections built in. So that continues on. It doesn't, you have the ability for those to continue to be maintained as low income sort of in perpetuity are built in. So there was a lot of work that went into that proposal, I think everybody's excited to get that project moving.
I know the mayor talked about the Fernie Hill home being demolished, but that still has one more step to clear with Architectural Review Board. Is that right?
It does. It does. And that's one of those things I think, you heard the mayor at the press conference, talk about his disappointment that, there's not more that can be done to protect some of these historic homes.
Right.
But, you're limited in state and local ordinances and state law and local ordinances. But it does have one more stop. I think it's the 19th that goes before the Architectural Review Board. Again, I think their ability to do anything is also somewhat limited, and I think they can delay it for 30 days. I think the idea there is if somebody wants to come in and say, hey, I'd like to buy this, from the existing owner or whatnot. There's some, additional timelines that are built in that permits and have to be issued within a certain period of time. But again, that's a long-winded way of saying, yes, there is one more stop on that and that is before the Architectural Review Board.
Last thing, probably the biggest news of the week. The mayor announced, actually last week, that the airport rotating announcement would no longer be just D.C. Reeves, but would now expand to include, was it Bubba Watson and Emmett Smith? Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's funny. Every time he's anywhere near either airport staff or visitors that business travelers that frequent the airport, he's always very apologetic that they have to continually hear his voice all day, every day. So I think nobody's more excited than he is. But I mean, it's great to be able to highlight. Obviously we've got now the one of the stars in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Devin get Webster, Devin Witherspoon in there. Yeah,
that, man. So yeah, that's great to have just such an embarrassment of riches of folks that call Pensacola home that have gone on to do huge things that are willing to come back and support their hometown.
I mean, we have all kinds of athletes, particularly superstars, that we could employ and get their voices on that thing. I'd love to have here's who Pensacola is, and here's all the cool people that are from here, musicians, actors, all kinds of, it'd be neat to have all that. David Stafford, he is the city administrator for the city of Pensacola. As always, David, thank you for the work you do. Thank you for the time, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, Andrew.